Okay, let me just call the list quickly. Okay. Michael Cinnamon. Michael here? Not here? Aaron Kulik. Simi Shabtai, Donnie Noll, J.K. Hartman, Daniel Tracer, Michael Goon, Ari Schwab, Yossi Bronstein, Eli Rosenberg, Ari Michael, Rafi Mandelstrom, Ezra Blaustein, Noam Fine, Adam Hertzberg, excuse me, Daniel Goldmans, Gabi Spivak, Gabi here, Ben Kendall, Nachum Rebeck, Ariel Schwartz, David Zirkin, Moshe Marcus, Jonathan Hefter, Donnie Rosenberg, yeah. Daniel Payback, Yitzi Klein, this time I got there before you, simultaneously, Ellie Steinberger, is Ellie here? Okay. Ariel Rosenzweig, Avi Strauss, David Shabtai, Donnie Landman, Joe Winkler. Did we even find out about Donnie Goldstein? Find out? What? I'm assuming he's not in the Shire. He hasn't been here in a while. So. Okay. I mean, I think really we haven't seen him in a while. So. No, we just want to make sure he's in a good place. But I'm going to cross him off the list because I'm assuming that... unless I hear otherwise, I'm assuming he's not with us. Yehuda Turetsky, Ari Schwartzberg, Josh Berman, Eli Chai Bitter, Michael Teicher, Avi Block, Zvi Lowenstein, Noah Lerman. Noah here? You here? Lerman. Yoni Levin, Jay Brody, okay. Zvi Erkowitz, Baruch Dobron, Shlomo Eisenberg, Daniel Lowenstein, Yoshua Davidowitz, okay. Yoni Fox, Oren Wachstock, Abigail Chaitovsky, Akiva Block, Alan Stein, Yoshua Koenig, Elio Lustiger, is he okay? I think he hasn't been here for a couple of days. Anybody know? Donnie Shaffrin, Aaron Sener, Noam Block, Noam Horowitz. Excuse me. Okay, we're almost finished. Elio Krakowski, David Chasky. Did we find out where and how he is?
He's with Dan.
Yeah, seriously? Okay, so again, I'm assuming that they haven't been here for a while, so I'm assuming that they're... Just let me, if they are here, I'll put them back, and we'll find out what happened to them. But otherwise, hopefully they're in a good place. Josh Weinberg, David Ashton, Ogarden Schwartz, Michael Stein, Yossi Reich, Jonathan Cohen. Is Jonathan here? Is he here? Jonathan? Ari Shapiro. Michiel Robinson. We haven't seen him for a few days. Does anybody know what happened to Michiel Robinson? What? I'm assuming he's not here then, because I don't think he's been here for like a week. Okay. So again, let me know. If I'm wrong, you let me know. But we're pairing. We got to find out really who's here. Ephraim Meth, Joseph Rosen, David Eiselt, Yonah Abramowitz, Zach Wertheimer, Daniel Natal, Nassan Wainfer. Here?
Yeah.
There he is. Okay. Good. Okay. Anybody whose name I didn't call? Or I did everybody. I think I missed Ellie's name. We know he's here. Okay. Very good. So let's continue. Let's finish off Karen Kane Shaganov, and hopefully Sunday we can begin Kefal Dal Behekashas Amada Bedin. So what we've been doing is looking at three ways to understand Karen Kane Shaganov, one of which is that this is Exeris HaKasuv, something that is against the grain, because the Fee of Tashlumin really should only begin at the time when the Hashava is precluded. That's at a later stage, and therefore we shouldn't really pay Kane Shaganov. We shouldn't pay Kashas Amada Bedin either. We should pay Kashas Hotzah Min HaOlam. Okay. At the time when the Hashava is precluded. It's one possibility. We discussed that. The other possibility is we're talking about the Mechayiv, the Zman HaMechayiv, because it is the Zman HaMechayiv is reasonable to establish the Shuma at that particular point in time. Sounds like that's the sheet of Bali Tosis. Some Rishonim speak explicitly in that way, including one day in the Rimel O'Neill, the other day in the Rimel O'Neill. According to that perspective, the only question we have to contend with is, well, what about the halacha of Itbar Mimela? Why is it that in the case of Itbar Mimela, when the price goes up, that you will pay the lower price? That's if it went from 1 to 4 and it was Itbar Mimela, not Tavra V'Shasya, why is it that you'll pay 1? Why not say that, good, that was Zman HaChiyuv and Zman HaChiyuv continues? So that's what we discussed. Maybe you have to say Maisa Gzela, especially if it's connected to the Kenyan, to the Maisa Kenyan, is frozen. Or you have to say something like the Xos, which is Ein Gozel Achar Gazlan, Kamo She'ein Gonev Achar Dan. Ay, Tavra V'Shasya, and those kind of things. And what about Rav Chizda, Ratzim Mizegova, Ratzim Mizegova? That's Mazik, not Gzela. Fine. And that doesn't apply, of course, to Itbar Mimela. That would be the Xos's explanation. Good. This would be an attractive pshat, as we said, for all those people who really don't think that the role of kinyanim is all that pronounced, chalos kinyan in Geneva. The third, the best pshat, I think, is that this is connected actually to kinyani Geneva, and kinyani Geneva are dependent upon the shas ha-Geneva, and that's what freezes it. Now, even if the maisa zela or something continues, it doesn't matter. It's still bershuso l'inyan shuma. Just wait a few minutes because I just want to make sure we get. And I haven't said anything yet. I'm just recapping very quickly to get us where we're going to go today. The question of in whose reshus was it nisyaker becomes the important issue. And what we're saying is Karen Kane Shaganov, the yoker, let's say, is in reshus of the Migna. The problem with that is how do you weigh the evidence? On the one hand, we have a number of indications that there really are such strong kinyanim. Tashmishim, Niskei Mamon, Shinukona, perhaps, if it works that way. Some of the Shonos of Gemaras and some of the Shonos of Rishonim. On the other hand, we have equal evidence that this object is still very much Bershus HaNignav. And just, we went through some of the Lashonos of the Gemaras in different places, Kopin Aleph and Nun Zayin, or Nun Vav, really. Kofir Aleph, Ninvav, Vamitzia, Mem Gimel, bunch of Gemaras, Rabbi Yochanan's formulations on Samachtes, and Ayin, Zelafishin Shalos, Zelafishin Rishus. We pointed out it's not such a simple matter that the object is in the Rishus of the Nignat. So what we need to figure out is why these Gemaras convey conflicting signals or even conflicting information when it comes to the question of whether or not the Gazlan or the Nigzal is the predominant owner when it comes to things like where's the Chayfetz, where's the Yoker, or to whom is the Yoker accruing. So what I tried to suggest was, number one, if you look at some of the Gemaras, they're not all competitions between the Nignav and the Ganav, or the Nigzal and the Gazlan. In some cases, it relates to the relationship of the Gazlan to others, or the relationship of the Nigzal to others. If that's the case, then that's an easy solution. In other words, as long as we confirm that both the Gazan and the Nigzal have some remaining kinyanim, half kinyanim, in some semblance of kinyanim in the Chayfetz, so vis-a-vis other parties, it's going to be Birshusa, if the choice is them or someone else. So that would explain, for example, partially at least, the Nizke Mamon issue, and the Ratzamizegove issue. Kufir Aleph Amud Beis is talking about whether or not the second Gazlan, the Bo'acher B'Achal, is he doing anything to the Nigzal? That's the question. The issue isn't whether he's doing it more to the Nigzal or to the Gazlan. The question is he doing anything to the Nigzal? The answer is, well, it's Brishus HaNigzal, Adayin who Brishus HaNigzal. That's one issue. The sugya on Nunvav, the question of Niskei Mamon. So as I said, basically the Nignav or the Nigzal has been taken out of the picture here. He can't he can't control the Chayfetz and be Shomer from Niskei Mamon because it's not in his possession, and that was accomplished against his will. So now the question is something else, and that is, Is there no one? Or is the Ghana for the Goslin vis-a-vis the Nizak, is he considered a Bailin? The answer is yes. So even though the Lashonos look very different, what I'm saying is the issues in these two cases are opposite of each other. They are issues of, you know, only the Nignav and only the Nigzal. The real issue comes about when you have competition between the two. Like, you know, Rabbi Yochanan, Zeh l'fisheino v'zeh l'fisheino. That isn't really a competition, you know, where the question is who's more dominant in a particular thing that's happening, but at least it is a relative, like, assessment. Because we're trying to explain why both of these people are limited, Rabbi Yochanan. Neither of them can be makdish the chefetz. So if we use different lashonos, that's significant, because we're talking about the same problem. So why would the Gemara use a different lashon if that wasn't somehow meaningful? Okay. In some of the other cases, we're talking about an actual clash of who is dominant. But even then, what I was trying to suggest last time is we should look at this in a more subtle and a more complicated way. Not because we necessarily like to, but because we're forced to. But we also like to. Why are we forced to? Because of the conflicting evidence. What are the cases? So that's what I was talking about. Tashmishim. It seems like in Tashmishim that the Ganath and the Goslin, you know, wins out. Right? Because the Nignav doesn't want him to use the Chafetz or would like to be paid for the Chafetz. So how can he use it for free and not pay the more dominant owner, if indeed the other fellow is the more dominant owner? So again, I'm speculating in all these chilukim and all these solutions. I've created some of the problems, and I'm definitely creating some of the solutions. But it's up to you to figure out whether, you know, whether this is real or not. But in the case of Tashmishim, the point is maybe the idea is that it's not everything is about a dominant party. In some cases, being a part owner gives you basic rights. And even if somebody's a more dominant owner, you can't deny those basic rights. That might be the idea of Tashmishim. That might be a model for other ideas in general. It might be the point in Tashlumin, too, in the end of the day. Because if talking about me paying for the use of the Chafetz, or me paying for the Chafetz, which now, we'll talk about it, went up. Me paying for the Chafetz that gained in value after the time that I took it away from you. Right. So again, here I think it's much more tricky. One would think, well, the question is, who's in the driver's seat? Who's the more basic owner? But if the question was some objective question, like a third party was involved, and the question of the third party's relationship to either the Ganav or the Nignav, I think that would be correct. Right? There would be no way that a third party would be paying a Ganav more than he would be paying a Nignav if the Ganav was a junior and the Nignav was a senior partner in the Chafetz. But again, if we're talking about whether or not the Ganav pays the Nignav for certain things that happen while it's under their shared custody, even though he's the junior partner, right? That might be a different story. Here, this idea, the same idea that I developed with Tashmishim, I just think it's more obvious in the case of Tashmishim, might apply. And that might be an issue in Karen Cain Shaganav. That might be an issue in the status of Shevach, which takes place, and we'll see that in a minute, from the time of the Gzela till the time of the Shinui, till it reaches the point of Shinui Konin. But the issue may very well be that since it's you're asking me to reach into my pocket to pay for something which, admittedly, I'm only a junior, but I still am at least a junior partner, so that's the price break that I get. It's true, it was Nisyakir more for you than for me. But since it was also Nisyakir for me, and we're talking about my paying, that's part of what being a partner is about. Again, we're talking about a forced partner here, a competitive partner. But I think at least that this is a sensible approach to some of these issues. Or no. In some cases, that might be the machlokas, whether or not that's enough of a reason to defy the question of who's the dominant owner. Maybe it depends on dominance. In some cases, it depends on any level of ownership. It's hard to know what the machlokas would be about. It could be about either of those points. Okay. So then we also noted that the language of the Gemara in Bava Tzi and Mem Gimel Amud Beis, ironically, in the most challenging of cases, Shlichus Yada, and especially even Shol Shalom Midas, points to the direction that Kol HaGazonim Misham Kishas HaGzela really does refer to the question of Kinyan. Again, unless you say that the Gemara is Lav Dafka, it doesn't mean that, but the Gemara uses the expression, in whose Rishus did the object become more in whose Rishus did the development take place? Okay. And in light of Rabbi Kivager, in light of the Ravid and Shol Shalom Midas, that's particularly interesting. It either shows that you should take the language seriously in the Gemara, or even if there aren't kinyanim vis-a-vis other things, at least inyan davar zeh, the issue is one of kinyan. The fact that Rashi quotes Kol HaGazonim Misham Kishas HaGzela on Tzadi Zayin, also when we talk about Tashmishim, I think is relevant as well. Okay, this brings us basically to examine further this relationship between the Ganef and the Gazlan, and again to pursue whether or not this sugya of Keren Kein Shaganav doesn't, aside from the language of the Gemara in Bava Metzia and Rashi in Bava Kama Tzadi Zayin, whether it doesn't reflect Kinyanim, this third stage. So just let's look quickly at three other issues, Tamura, Sanhedrin, and Ein Shaman, the sugya on Daf Yud Aleph. So let's start with... let's start with Truma for a second. Let's hear from. Who should we hear from? Ari Shapiro. Do you have the Gemara in Tamura?
No.
Okay. What's the Gemara they're talking about?
If
somebody could get it to him. So waste time. Go ahead. Oh yeah, if you have it.
Here. Okay. So
it starts on Dalet Amud Beis. Really, the background is Dalet Amud Beis. And Rav Amar. Okay, so this is a very, very basic machlokas, namely Abai and Rava. It's very well known, namely.
It seems that Rava just basically says that the fact that you're loki, you get mako, is because you were over the course of don't do this, you did it, so you're going to get a punishment. While Abai is saying that I guess it's the fact that you're over the law, you. Something happened there.
In other words, do you need effectiveness in order to violate fully? Or does the effort alone constitute the violation? Right? Abai is saying, Kol ma dam rachmana lo sabri ovid mahani, because otherwise why should you get punished? You didn't do anything. Right? Actually, where's Michael? This should be very relevant.
Oh, right. Yes.
Okay. So, I meant to tell you that the other day, it slipped my mind, and then afterwards I said, I should really just tell him Abai and Rava. So, komad avrachmana lo sabdi avid mahani, because otherwise, where's the maisa? Nothing happened. There's no chalos, you could say, right? Although, again, completely no chalos in some cases may be worse, right? But that's a baya. And Rava says, the avar amemra derachmana, the effort to violate in Torah itself is a maisa avera, itself requires malchus. It's a very fascinating machlokas. And it's a kind of philosophical machlokas as well. Yeah.
Could you also say the other way too, which is that it's extra legality is what made the positive of legal recognition.
Say that again.
Extra legality is what positive of legal recognition.
I have no clue what. No, I shouldn't say that. I probably have a vague clue.
Meaning, okay. Since it's illegal, so right. Therefore
that gives it a certain stature, if it's not effective.
For Rava, since it's legal, therefore.
Right, right.
Yeah.
I understood. I did understand what you're saying. Okay. Is that a terminology that is like? Are there such discussions in like a comparative law, and they use that terminology, or did you make that up?
I just made that up.
Oh, okay. Swag. After in that case, I think I understand what you mean, but I think I have to refine it a little. And if you told me the Cardoza said that. I would have said I also think the cars are fine. So. Okay. But, you know, we would look at the bigger picture. Okay. So this is the Machlokas. So now what we're trying to figure out is, according to, are there really indications that, you know, Kama Adam Rachman Allah Savid, Mahani, that, you know, Torah says no, and you're able to accomplish something nonetheless. So that's where the Gemara goes on Vav Amud Aleph. Go ahead. Harry, if you don't mind. Yeah, go ahead. Okay. So basically, this is one of, this has been brought into the discussion of the Yavid Mahani, Yavid Lo Mahani, and that's quite interesting. What's the Yavid Mahani?
Over here is that.
So they're quoting the mission in the first mission in the ninth parak. Kalagazani Mishalim Kishas Agzela. So here there seems to be a little machlokas between Rashi and the Shita Mekubetzes. Did you see it? Okay. Or if not, just on your own, how do you read, how do you read the Gemara, and why is it relevant to what we're doing?
I mean, it's according to, right, it seems like Abai is giving the Ganav a lot of stature.
Abai is trying to prove that a Ganav, that Koma Dov Rachmana Lo Savid Yavid Mahani. I mean, Gzela worked. What do you mean Gzela worked?
Seems like,
I mean, why not say like Rava, Avra a member drachmana? So he gets punished, or he did a terrible thing. He violates the Easter because the Torah said, "Don't try this." Okay, well, no one's arguing that the machlokas Abai and Rava isn't that he didn't do any Maisa. We're talking about whether or not legally the Maisa is effective. We're talking about the effectiveness of the Maisa, right? So what's Abai's proof? The answer is, Abai is trying to prove that there is a positive consequence, there's an effective consequence of being a thief.
And the Makko, I guess, would try to remove that, what he's done.
The what?
The Makko he's getting is kind of like to remove...
Forget about the Malkus for a moment. I'm not so concerned. There's no Malkus either way, but what's the... Harigezel drachmanim alo sigzal, and therefore, according to Abaya, there should be no... Even if you do the Maisa, you never... The act is never effective. What is the effort to accomplish? To take his chefetz and to make it my own. When I try to steal something, I'm trying to take his chefetz, belongs to him, I'm trying to make it belong to me. So that's exactly what Abai is saying, right? Abai is saying to Rava. Namely, according to you, this illegal purpose, objective, cannot be fulfilled because kol adam rachmana lo savid, the avid, Lo Mahani. But here you see that it is, because he stole the object, and as a result of stealing the object, the halacha is that Asan Kalim, Tzem of Asan Begadim, Sham Kishas Hagzela. Right? So one could have said, and so what's Rava's answer to this? Amalach Rava, Shani Asan, Damakra, Shagazal, Kima Shagazal. It's hard to know. Rava's saying one of two things. Rava's saying, in Ochanami, you're right. It's part of the, you have to read the whole sugya here in Tamura. Does Rava say, my rule, which is, when the Torah says no, right, that just doesn't mean asur, it also means ineffective. No chote niskar, right, no, you don't accomplish anything by doing a maisa aveira. There are exceptions to that, that's the rule, and there are exceptions to the rule. What are the exceptions? Whenever there's a gzeras hakasav. Certain gzeras hakasavs teach us, it's not that in principle it can't be so, just in general, it is so. So then here he's saying, you're right. I see this Mishnah the way you see it. That this is an example of Iavid Mahani. But it doesn't throw me, you know, for a loop, because I know that there are exceptions to the rule. I'm just talking about the rule. Or, Rav is trying to explain that there is a certain halacha here, but it's not what you think. It doesn't reflect the Yavid Mahani. It's a different halacha. If I just told you, Ari, there's a Mishnah. Gozel, Eitzin, Vasan, Kalim, Tzemer, Asam, Gadim. Right? Does that prove that the Yavid Mahani? What would you have said? Does it prove it? Not necessarily at all. The guy walks away, he's able to keep a chayfetz. Sure, he's able to keep the chayfetz after the shinui. Right? Maybe that's because there's a different element. The shinui is a new factor because shinui is kone, and that's a din in its own right. Especially if you say shinui kone is based on panim chadashos bo lekan. It's a different chayfetz. Oh, so one sec, we'll get to that in a second. Rashi and Shita are arguing not in Rava, but they're arguing in... But I think that is the sort of the argument, absolutely. So, for example, the Gemara says in the beginning of the ninth paragraph, and we're going to discuss this in great length, we talk about Shinui Kone. Right? The Gemara says Shinui Kone doesn't apply only to Gzela. Right? Where else does Shinui Kone apply? Those of you who learned ninth paragraph already, or other Gemaras? Where else does Shinui Kone apply? Go ahead. All right. Esnan, Zona, Asra, Torah, where else? It
applies to Meiser.
Rachis Agez, exactly. Okay, good, that's true. Okay, so the question is whether or not these two things have anything to do with each other.
Right.
And if so, do they have to do with each other only part way or fully? In other words, is the halakha of Rachis Agez and the halakha of Esnan Zona the same halakha as Gezel, namely Panim Chadashos Bo'o Lekan, and that explains, it's not Yavid Mahani, just like it's not Mitzura, Linyan Rachis Agez, and it's not Mitzura, Linyan Esnan Zona, and it's not Mitzura, Linyan some other things, so too it is not Mitzura, Linyan, it's not the Chefetz HaGazel anymore, and it's yours because the new Chefetz that just Bali Olam right now happens to be in your Chatzar and your Rishos. Just because the words Shinui Kone, you wouldn't expect the words Shinui Kone to appear in Reish Sagez and in Esnan Zona. Your point is not wrong, but I'm saying it's not. So you just have to figure out, are we saying this something called the Chalos Shinui, and that is the necessary prerequisite, you know, the Chalos Shinui is the necessary prerequisite for the dinim of Esnan and Reish Sagez. But when it comes to those halachos and a few others, it's sufficient as well. That's all you need. When it comes to gzela, you need two things. Number one, it has to be a shame shinui. And number two, there's a din of shinui kone. That's one way to look at it. Or, another way to look at it, these dinim have nothing to do with each other at all. Two completely different dinim. Or, third halacha, and that is that it's the same halacha. It's not that gzela has two components or a different component. It's the same idea. So per se, the fact that shinui is kone doesn't have to prove that Yavid mahani. It's not because of the gzela. The gzela just happens to create the physical reality that it's in your rishus, and it's in when the davar shabaliolam appears now, has no connection to anybody else but you. That's sufficient. So the truth is, you said, as you asked me, is that the Machlokes in Rashi and the Shita Gubatsis? I was explaining Rava, two explanations in Rava. Or either Rava says, you're right, Abaya, this is an exception based on Gzeres HaKasim, or what he's saying is, this is a halacha, has nothing to do with the effectiveness of the Gzela, it's just a din in its own right. All right. Now let's move back to Abaya. Okay, Abaya certainly was saying Mahani. So here you have a Machlokes, Rashi, and Shita Gubatsis, namely, what does Rashi say? That the Raya is from the Shinui. Correct? What does Rashi say? You have it there? Kishasa Gzela, correct? So Rashi says that the Raya is from the Halacha of Shinui Kone. What does Shinui have to say? The Raya isn't from, that sounds like, I mean, I'm not 100% sure, but it sounds like the Raya is not from, it's in the back, right?
Yeah.
No, that's not on the page, it's in the, maybe the new Gemaras they put on the page. In the Hashimata's in the back. You have it? You have the new Gemaras. Oh, so Tushidu Gubetza says, I think it's a find, that this is based on Kol HaGazon HaMishalmik. The Raya isn't from Shinui Kone per se. It's from Kol HaGazon HaMishalmik Kishas HaGzeva. So what's that Machlokas about? I think it's very simple. The Shitabuku Betzes was wary of the Raya from Shinui Kona for the reasons that I just stated. Who says Shinui Kona is based on Kinyane Gezela? Maybe it stands on its, maybe it's a din in its own right, Shinui Kona. On the other hand, Rashi, in at least in Tamura, although it doesn't work well with the Rashis in some of the other places, but Rashi in Tamura was wary of the idea that Kola Gazlanim Mishalmin Kishasa Gzela proves anything. What does that prove? Maybe that just is Manachiyuv. Just because you pay Kishasa Gzela, that proves what? That's Mani. So let's go back to each one. Rashi's view seems to be that there would be no Shinui Kona if there wasn't first Kinyane Gneva Ugezela. Shinui Kona is an extension of that Kinyan. There's a lot of rayas for that. That's essentially what the Ravid and Reb Chaim were arguing about Shol Shelo Midas and Tzadi Zayin. They were saying, you know, where is the Shinui Kona in Pachsa? The answer is, you don't get Shinui Kona if you don't first have Kinyane Gzela B'Shas Maisa Gzela. And since Shol Shelo Midas does not have Kinyane Gzela, he won't have Shinui Kona either. That's one day the Ravid. That was what Reb Chaim was trying to explain. So Shinui Kona is an extension of initial Kinyane Gezela. That works very nicely for Rashi and Tamura. But you don't have to say it. By the same token, what we've now seen is that, of all people, Rashi on Tzadi Zayin, as it happens, the Gemara's language itself in Bab Metzia Mem Gimel Amud Beis, and it helps Misvara a lot, as we've already noted, because then you don't have to deal with the whole problem of, well, you know, let you be chayiv and itbar mimela for the continuing ma'isig zela. That's also a shaskiyu. You can get, you can neutralize all those problems simply by saying that the din of Karen Kane Shaganav or Kol Hagazlanim Mishamak Shasak Zela is a din in Kinyanik Zela. That's exactly what Shitum Kuventus is saying. Now, does Rava agree with all of this? Either one of these? Or is Rava saying, no, it's a Gezeres HaKasuv, it has to do with the Zman Achiyuv. Kol HaGazlanim Misham HaKashas HaGzela, if you read the Gemara like Shitum Kuventus. Or, Rava saying, no, it's a Gezeres HaKasuv, that there's something called Shinui Kona, if you read the Gemara like Rashi. It's hard to know what Rava's conclusion is. Yeah. Say that again. You should have.
The sheet according to Tosfos earlier that there should be a disser hana on the drawing that the kila can or the drawing that grows.
Are you talking about the sugin tomorrow?
Yeah,
go ahead.
The drawing that grows from creation shor b'chamah.
Okay.
Right. According to that, we might expect that we mafkia the shinui kona also.
I'm not sure what the connection is. Two different issues, different topics.
The point is that the Ganav should not be able to succeed in anything that he's trying to do. Whatever he tries to do, we're going to stop him. And the Kishahana are the things that grew from the device that he did. So also,
right. I don't know what that means across the board. I don't know what that means across the board. That, you know, that every, that you can never, that, you know, something that is pure Metzius is always going to be affected. I hear what you're saying. I mean, if the objection of Rava is more, as you say, you know, principled, it's not just, you know, the, you know, you can't have a legal consequence of an illegal deed. It's more than that. It's a yosher thing. You can never benefit from illegal behavior. If that's the issue, so you might say, you're arguing, as I understand it, so then you might extend it and say, well, it doesn't really matter to us if the metzius has a momentum of its own that, you know, yields the consequence of benefit, we should be imposing knossos, daraisa, etc., to make sure that ill-gotten gains, you know, are never legitimized. Maybe. I'm not sure that we have to go that far. I'm not sure even the Tosis is going that far, but possibly. If that's the Pshat and Rava, if the Pshat and Rava is more illegal actions are never have a legal chalos, then of course we're going there will always be room for the momentum of the practical result, which is what we're talking about. Yeah. Say again? I'm not understanding it. Does this mean, does which mean?
Oh,
what's the this?
Abai,
according to Abai and Tamura, who says that in Ovid Mahani, go ahead.
Yeah, so
forget about Malchus. It's not Malchus is not relevant here. We're talking about the principle of Ovid Mahani, of Ovid Lo Mahani is not limited to Malchus. The case of Geneva, there's no Malchus. We really want to know whether or not, again, does an illegal activity ever result in a legal status? That's what we want to know. Either on a pure objective, can it happen level, or if you want to say it to the Chote Niskar level, but it's not limited to Malchus because there's no Malchus there. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
In the you're having the Ashmatos in the back, but I don't know if you have the Shilvetz Ashmatos on the side. Yeah. Much more explicit in this point. He says he actually has it not as the interpretation of the Kasha of the Gemara, but rather he has his own Kasha on Abaye and he answers it. But the answer is much more explicit than what you read. He says in Tomar came the Mahani and my Mishnah and Kval.
Right.
The Ashlomar the Hul Kasha the Krak Sivesh is the Alamikomak and Mukh Shap Yud Mahani.
Okay, good. Even a stronger formulation. Very good. Okay. So that's the Sugin Tumura. I think it's very important. It's important to understand what Abaye's Havamina was, whether it's based on Chunikon or whether it's based on... Either way, it's definitely Kinyane Gezela. The Maisa Gezela creates Mahani, meaning Kinyane. That's a terrific Gemara in Tumura. Whether it's based on Shunikona, whether it's based on Kala Gazlanim, whether it's based on both, they also could be both. I mean, Mishnah says both elements. It's hard to know. It could be that there are Gufa Machlokas within, that's the Machlokas Shidim Kubezas and Rashi. What Rava comes out with is also, now Rava here is a very pivotal figure. Okay, we normally don't zero in so much on Amarayim, because it's hard to do that. But obviously in this whole Sugya, Rava is, we'll get to him in a second, in Sanhedrin is very important. So, Rava's view in particular interests us here. What Rava's saying, I agree about Gneva, there are Kinyanim, it's an exception. Or these halachos are Gzeres HaKasuvs, and they're not at all an exception to the rule. They're Chiyuvim and Onshim, but they're not Kinyanim, or they're realities, not Kinyanim. That remains to be seen. Okay, so let's move. It's a good place for the transition, Rava himself, to the sugya in Sanhedrin. Okay. So maybe we'll have Daniel? Daniel? You have the Gemara in Sanhedrin with you? Very, very crucial Gemara in Sanhedrin. We've made allusion to it several times, but we haven't really actually read it yet. So let's look at it now. Like this Gemara is, on the basic literacy, list of Gnevo Gazela. Even though it's in Sanhedrin, it's so important. Okay, go ahead. You have it there? The Mishnah first. Baba Machteres. Okay, so first, what does it mean? Habab Machteres Nidon Al Shem Sofo? What's that? No, Machteres. Baba Machteres, he steals into your basement, but he stealthily, invades your home in a way, hoping that you won't find him. Okay, but Nidon Al Shem Sofo. What does Nidon Al Shem Sofo mean? We're Roas Hanolad, we look to the future, and we view him, at least at this moment, as being open to to Misa. Whether one should say, which I'm avoiding saying, he's chayev Misa, or he's, nitan l'Misa, okay, that's an interesting and an important question. Not for now, so much. He's chayev Misa, not really to do anything. But the point is that you know that, as the Gemara explains, there's going to be a confrontation. People do crazy things when their money is involved, right? We even know the other Gemara in Sanhedrin, right? Hopefully that's a minority, but there are people like that. So here too, the guy's going to confront you. He's not going to be able to hold himself back. So you're going to have to be willing to, respond, and things could get to the point of retzach, and therefore you are kind of a rodev, and therefore he can kill you. That's what it means. That's what those little words mean. Habab machteres nidon al shem sofa. And therefore, at this moment, there's a cloud of death hanging over this ganav. A chiyuv, a heter, right? Yitiratzmo, whatever it is, that's what it is. Okay. Is it the same as Rodef? It's a little different than Rodef. Again, that's a topic in its own right, but for our purposes. Okay. Now, what Mishnah goes on. Ha'ivam b'machteres. No? Okay, so if he does this, and in the process of trying to steal something, he destroys it. So, im yesh lo damim, meaning? Im yesh lo damim? If it's like a father and a son, where we can anticipate that he really isn't kind of a rodef, so then the rule is he is chayiv. Okay. Imeinodami, if it's a classical case of Baba Machteres, where you have this dinei nefashos hanging over him, so then it is patur. What's that patur based on? Come the Rabbim. Exactly. Okay. So far, so good. Now the Gemara says, go ahead. Read Amar Rava quickly.
Amar Rava, my time up.
My time to Machteres. He won't be able to hold himself back. Behind Meimar Amar. Philosophically, the Ganef knows that if he gets discovered, he's going to have this confrontation, the other fellow is not going to back off. The Koila Pai, I have to be willing to kill him. Okay, good. So this is, now we come to the main point. This is Rav's big statement. Ababa Machteres, Venatal Kalim, Viyatsa, what the key word is, Viyatsa, meaning he took the Chayfetz, it didn't get destroyed in the process of the Baba Machteres. It wasn't a bungled robbery, it was a successful one, right? So he walks out of the cave, he walks out of the Rishus. Now when he walks out of the Rishus, that cloud of death, dissipates, right? He's no longer Chai Misa. And nonetheless, Rav says, Potter. Meaning he doesn't have to return the object. That's a huge Chiddush. Because Kamli B'drabba Minei, the truth is that Kamli B'drabba Minei is never obvious in Baba Machteres. Because it may depend on the issue that I mentioned before, which is a Baba Machteres, because of Nidon al Shem Sofa, Ad Kadekach, Chayev Misa? Or is just Matir Atzmo L'Misa? So one could have said that Kamle B'drava Mine is limited to Chiyuve Misa, not to Hetere Misa. So already to begin with, there's a Chiddush that Kamle B'drava Mine will apply to Baba Machteres. But okay. Let's assume that it's so. The Mishnah says it's so. So Baba Machteres, even though, so again, if you say there's a chiyu, fine. If there's no chiyu, there's a chiddush, right? Kam le bedravmi. So if that's the case, now there's a second chiddush, and that is because at the initiation point of the chiyu, there was kam le bedravmi. That continues to influence the situation way after the fact. Why? Right. There's no longer Kamle B'drabba Mineh. That's the question. That's Rav's Chiddush. Above the Chiddush, that's the Kelim Yatzah Patur. Go ahead, by Taima. And that's also funny Lashon, I might add. Because Kamalib and Rav Amin is a Kenyan. Strange. What is normally Kamalib and Rav Amin? Not a Kenyan. But, Daniel? A Ptur. Right? It's not a Kenyan. If I say, a classic Kamalib and Rav Amin. Okay. The classic case of Kamleib and Rabbi. So the reason that you don't pay is because you're kone with the chiyuv misa. No, Kamleib and Rabbi, it's p'tur. How that p'tur is, whether it's b'chal masayim mana, or it's what we'll call the eclipsing perspective, which is in the context of the capital crime, the monetary crime, just doesn't matter anymore. Or it's not even al-pidin defined as that maisa. It's overwhelmed by the more significant crime. So whichever perspective you take, but it's not kaninu. It's either, kalalinu or putrinu. But it's not kaninu. It's just a strange, the application to machteris is strange, the continued application after the fact is strange, and the formulation of kaninu is strange. Now all three of these things are connected. They all overlap. Namely, we seem to be applying Kamleib and Rav Amine in a very different way here. Now, this is an important gemara for Kamleib and Rav Amine. We're not going to focus on that aspect of it. Just to point out that these three elements are part of one single pattern, but an important pattern. Okay. Either way, Rav's Chiddush is noted. Amar Rava.
Amar Rava. Mistabra Milsei, the Rav, Shishidar, the last name.
So Rava said, I don't like Rav's halacha. Because if the chafetz is still... How's it go? If the chafetz, Daniel, is...
It's still
ben. It's still ben,
then... So
yeah. If the chafetz is destroyed, it's one thing. Now here's a machlokes we've shown him how to read the words b'shashibar delisnayu. Okay, what's the machlokes? Rashi and Tosfos read them one way. Not only Rashi and Tosfos, but at least Rashi and Tosfos, and the Balamor, and the Ramban, a group of other Rishonim read it a different way. How does Rashi and Tosfos read it? Yeah, excellent. Right? The Sheshiva de l'Shnayu means not only at the moment of the Machteres, when the cloud of death is hanging over him, even in Ochanami, even if he walks out with the chepetz, and it's in perfect, pristine shape, and the cloud of death dissipates, right? So everybody's, going back to the world of the living, and the Be'en is I say, in perfect condition as well. Nonetheless, if at some point, before he returns the chepetz, it gets destroyed, not he destroys it, presumably, but it gets destroyed, Rava will agree with Rav. That's Shitas Rashi, that's Shitas Tosfos, that's Shitas Balamor. Question is, why? Is that an obvious Shita or a difficult Shita, would you say? What? Difficult. Why is it difficult?
Why should he suddenly agree?
Rav is vulnerable on the point that if the object is Be'en after the cloud of death has dissipated, so now there's a chiyuv the heishev v'sagzela asher gazal like any other chiyuv heishev v'sagzela asher gazal. But why should we have this compromise that if it's as long as it's alive, there's a chiyuv, and when it's destroyed, even after the fact, then all of a sudden there's no chiyuv? That's a strange compromise. But that is Shitas. What motivated Rashi and tells us to say it? Otherwise, they felt that Rava is not saying anything beyond the Mishnah. Because the Mishnah already says, Ababa Machteres, Nidon Hashem Sofo, Im Ein Lo Damim Potur. Right? So we know that if the Shvira takes place, Bizman HaMachteres, then it's Potur. So it must be that Rav is at least agreeing that if it's Nishbar Lachar Kach, as long as it's Nishbar, that it's Potur. Right? Even if the Shvira took place after that. That's the thinking of Rashi and Tosfos and the Balamor. And who's the Cholek? Ramban and Mochamos, and a group of other Rishonim also, but did you see it? Did you see it yet? So the Mochamos disagrees, Bchama says he thinks it's completely wrong. What's the chiddush? Okay, that he gets out of. What bothers him? Why should you have this compromise? And particularly, what does he invoke, Michael? What does he invoke? Did you see the Ramban yet? By Sunday, everybody should have seen it for sure. Avi? Can you see it yet? Oren? Tavra v'shasya. Excellent. Excellent. He says, why is it any different than Tavra v'shasya? Tavra v'shasya is after the point of Gzela. And we see from here that there can be a chiyuv that is created after the point of Gzela. After all, if the object rises in value from 1 to 4, you'll pay the 4. So here too, you should pay the post kamle bedrabim minei fi if the object is destroyed. That's the Ramban's question. So the Balamor answers the question. What's Balamor's answer? Moshe, you saw it? Elio? Not the Balamor. I mean, Hemiso or Shavro is chinuk between what and Misa, did you say? What do you mean by Misa here? Maybe you mean onto something, yeah. But not for the Balamor. But. The difference between, well, this is also a case of the Zikin, right?
You can't apply Shavro Talia, which is in the world of the Zikin,
okay, well, we'll see about that. On the contrary, maybe the more that it's mazik, if you see it as mazik, maybe there'd be more of a reason to say that you're chayiv at least b'tor is mazik. I'm not so sure about that. But either way, that's nothing to do with the Balamor. David, did you see the Balamor? What does the Balamor say? Not really. How does the Balamor get out of this problem? Balamor holds like Rashi and like Tosis that if you destroy it after the fact, you will also be potter, even though if you have it, you would have to return it. Yeah. Balamor says, you have the line?
I think what he says is that the Klabe Onsen, you were...
No, we'll get to the Onsen in a minute. So basically, what Ephraim said, is louder?
Derabanan.
He says, you're right. Basically, Rava completely agrees with Rav. We said Mistabra, he just meant Lahalach Lamaiso, he just can't operate this way, it doesn't look good. Go ahead, you have it? Go on. Yeah, meaning it's repugnant. The guy stole into your house, not only to steal from you, he put you in jeopardy. And he was willing to put himself in jeopardy. Right? And as a result, he's going to walk away with the Be'en. La'ini HaKolim is going to be able to keep it. Al-Pidin says to Balamor, Rav is right. But Rav just said, as halachic policy, not as halachic principle. Halachic principle, Rav is right. Halachic policy, we can't abide it. Shelo yichote niskar. So if the chepetz is destroyed, so it's not staring us in the face, it's not offensive, so we'll go with halachic principle. As long as the chefes is be'en, lo yechote niska. These are words that I'm adding, but this is essentially what he says. In other words, Balamor is fundamentally agreeing with the Ramban, which is that be'ikaron, the compromise of lifne, the compromise of shvira la'achar, shababa machteres, makes no sense. Makes no sense. How can Rava say it? Policy, not principle, to dindrabana. Other Rishonim, Rashi, Tosis, do not sound like they think that this is a din drabanan. The words of Rav and the Gemara do not sound like they are only drabanan. It sounds like Rav argues with Rav in principle. So if you hold like the Ramban, fine. Rav is saying the whole thing is wrong. As long as the Shvira wasn't bismana machteres, you're going to be chayim. It's the equivalent of Tavra v'shasya. But according to Rashi and Tosis, if they don't look like the Balamor, and they have this compromise, and it's not drabanan, so what's going on? So let's hold off on that for a moment. We're going to get back to that. I told you also to look at the Raivin and the Kosov Sham and especially the Adrama. That's very relevant, and we'll get back to this point. But it's not necessary for the next few minutes anyway. Okay. Either way, let's take Rava for the moment, according to the reading of the Ramban. Because according to the reading of the Baal HaMor, right, conceptually, Rav and Rav are the same. Well, let's actually do it the other way. According to the Baal HaMor, or according to Rav, and according to Rava, according to the Baal HaMor. So really, what's going on here? Is it really only a matter of nicety? Shaleichote niskar, doesn't look good. How can that be? The machteret is long gone. So the best way to explain Rav, I mean, Rav says, b'damim kaninu. So what does that mean? That's a kamlibid Rav minei halacha? Like I said before, we're already stretching kamlibid Rav minei to begin with. This is a different, Rav has a different view of kamlibid Rav minei. He thinks it's a kinyan, not just a poter or a nichlal. Maybe. The Rav once entertained such a notion that maybe that's really what Rav has in mind. Different perspective on Kamlim and Rav. Fine. For the language of Kaninu, it might certainly seem that way. But there's another way to explain both Kaninu and the Rav without an exotic expansion of Kamlim and Rav every day. What's it based on? Yeshua? Another way to explain Rav. I said, one way to explain Rav is to say Kamlim and Rav every day casts its wide net. Creates a kinyan, not just a patur. And therefore, if it was only a patur, once it's gone, the patur is no longer there. But if it's kaninu, kamli rabinei is koned dine mamanis, it's a strange halacha. It's, it's more than, yavid mahani, I might say. Right? It's amazing. I mean, the guy did a capital crime, and therefore he's koned dine mamanis. It's the anti-abaya, if you say it that way. But it would explain it. Good. A different way, something that is more related to our topic than that's a kamlei b'drabimine issue. But for the same reason, that idea is that for the same reason that we're applying kamlei b'drabimine to machtera to the begin with. If we're already applying it, not the irony is it'll also be more expansive. Okay. But let's that's a kamlei b'drabimine issue. Let's get back to Gneva and Gzela and why we're reading this Gemara now. Why I said it's a basic Gemara for Gneva Gzela literacy. Okay, no shir has ever been given on Inyani Gneva Gzela that didn't talk about Rav and Rav here in Sanhedrin. And I can say that with confidence. So what's it about?
I'm not really sure. I just started this Gemara.
Okay, good. Yossi, have an idea? Oh, so what is this the greatest statement of? 100%. What? So what does this reflect then, Rav? It's ma'akev, a total kinyan mitzad ha ganav. In other words, back to the question of kinyan e'ganev. So we know that the most, whatever you're going to say about a kinyani gneva, we know that the nignav remains the bailim, partially, at least vis-a-vis other people, but even vis-a-vis the ganav himself to some extent. The only question is he a junior partner, is he an equal partner, is he a senior partner? There might even be evidence that he's a senior partner. Right? But the question is, why? Is that because objectively he just is? I mean, there are limits on the kinyan and the kinyanim of the ganav and the gazlan, and therefore the nignav and nigzal is not excluded from the picture.
So help us name it. If this thing specifically, help us name it.
What I'm trying to explain now? Yeah. So just exactly, is that the reason that the nignav and nigzal remain bailim because they're the bailim, and it's just amazing. In the Chabal Lechidusho, it's amazing that there are kinyanim for the gazlan and the ganav to begin with. Okay, but they're not going to outstrip they're not going to outpace the kinyanim of the real owner. Or, no, not at all. Yavid Mahani, meaning kinyane gneva ugezela, in theory, would win the chayfetz for the ganav and the gazlan. except for one obstacle, as you put it. Namely, Chiyav HaShava. The Torah said, Veheshiv is like Zela Asher Gazal. If it wasn't for Veheshiv is like Zela Asher Gazal, the Gzela, the Gneva, would have completely been Motzi Mirshus HaNigzal VaHaNignav. Completely, I should qualify that. Either it would have completely put it in the Rishus HaGanav HaGazlan and excluded the Nignav and the Nigzal, or at least it would have made the Ganav and the Gazlan the dominant konim. Maybe the Nignav and Nigzal would remain vis-a-vis other people. That's still possible. I don't know. Even for Rav. But at least vis-a-vis the two, the competition would have been won by the Ganav and by the Gazlan. But the Torah said, Neheshiv is like Zeila Shagaza. Now, even then, so in the Habamina, I have two formulations, right? The Nigzal is completely out, or he's just a junior partner. That's one issue. Now comes the second question. Okay, the Heshiv is like Zeila Shagazal, which normally applies, what does that do? Is that just a Chiyuv? And Zinochem, it's still true that the Ganav and the Gazlan are the main Bailim, but they're the main Bailim who also have a Chiyuv to return the chepetz. That chiyuv to return the chepetz, right, interferes with their ability to do certain things, like to be makdish the chepetz, and so on. But basically, they really are the dominant owners, and every apparent limitation and every apparent advantage that the nignav and nigzal have is only due to the result of there being a chiyuv eishav as like zelash gaza, or the Heshiv is like Zeila Asher Gazal is the thorn in the side. It really limits the Kenyanim. It makes them junior partners. That's still an open question. One more second. And therefore, it's not just the Chiyuv that interferes. As long as there's a Chiyuv that interferes, the Kenyanim are stifled. That's the second question within Rav. But either way, Lu Yitzuyar, you didn't have a Chiyuv HaShava, right? Because it was neutralized somehow. So then that old Havamina, that what might have been, will be back again. So that's exactly what Rav said. That's exactly what Kam Levit Ravamina is. Kam Levit Ravamina is not a Kone, per se. What we mean is, Bidamim Kaninu. The Gneva and the Gazela have the full capacity to be Konev, or at least to be predominant even over the Nignav, if not to exclude him completely. The obstacle, right, as a Chiyuv, or because of the Chiyuv, is the Heshiv is like Zela Asher Gazal. The Heshiv is like Zela is something that is generated the first moment of the Maisik Zela. But the first moment of this Maisik Zela, what happened? Kablev Ravamine. So there was no Chiyuv HaShava. So there were full kinyanim. So Rav says, you can walk away with the chayfetz and keep it. Bidamim kaninu. Not because kamle bidravimine generally is konen dine mamanis. But because in this case, the only thing stopping pure kinyan is chiyuv, and the chiyuv is neutralized by the pturuk. Kamle bidravimine. So now the question becomes, if that's what Rav is saying, and that's the interpretation of bidamim kaninu, so what is Rava responding? So Rava is responding, the whole thing is wrong, mitchila v'yad sof. There are no positive kinyanim for a ganav at all. Rav ends up being the strongest advocate, the strongest expression of kinyanei geneva. Because for him, it's even keneged anignav anigzal in a direct clash. Maybe does he have to return the chayfetz? I'm not talking about how much he'll pay, like I was talking about before. Can he use the chayfetz in the meantime? Will he be the recipient of the Shinui Kone because it's in his hand? We're not talking about that. We're talking about the Be'en. Does he have to return it or not? Rav's saying there can be a case, no, as long as there's no Chiyuv, the Heshiv is like Zeila Asher Gazal. Wow. So now when Rava says, no, you're wrong, that's going too far. So according to the Baal Amor, basically Rava is saying, Rav, you're 100% right. But policy-wise, what's the halakha policy-wise? You have to return the chepetz. It's too much of a chote niskar situation. It's intolerable. But But in theory, it's correct. That's Balamor. According to the other Rishonim, Yitzi? How, what we say for them, for Rava? Say a little louder, I can't hear. What was the first word? You're Kona? You are Kona or you're not Kona? You not sure? Okay, that's a good Yoni.
There's no folk in your name. Just one chap.
Okay. Correct. Within the first, the second shot, let's hold on to for a moment. Does come le bedrava mine remove the heshiv like zelash or gazal to begin with fully, or does it just neutralize the implementation of a heshiv like zelash or gazal? That's a come le bedrava mine question. Very important. Even if it does neutralize the heshiv like zelash or gazal, maybe the heshiv like zelash or gazal is a continuous chiyuv. So it doesn't just block it, it completely neutralizes it while the cloud of death hangs over the Baba Machteret. Right? It sounds very dramatic, this cloud of death thing. But, the second that he is in free and clear, maybe there's the Gzela continues and there's a Nuchi of Ashava. Maybe it relates to the question that we discussed the other day. Does the Gzela continue or not? Okay, so that's one whole issue. So that too, within that perspective, never wipes out a chiyuv, it only neutralizes its implementation, but it's always there. Then, of course, the limitations are there. Or, what I said a second ago, it comes back. It's a regenerating the Heshiv is like Zelar Shikos. Those are two perspectives in one approach. Or, what you said the other thing, which is. Okay, but even then, no full kinyanim or no kinyanim?
Partially kinyanim.
Meaning there's still, what we don't know in Rava, let's take the kinyanim issue for a moment. Let's say they're not arguing about Kamala Drav and its impact on the Heshiv. And they're not arguing whether the Heshiv regenerates or Xela regenerates. They're arguing on this question of kinyanim itself. Rava says, listen, you've gone way too far with the kinyanim. Is he going as far as to say there really are no positive kinyanim at all? All there is chiyuvim. Or is he saying there are kinyanim le'inyan onsim, but the onsim do flow from kinyanim, but you just can't compete the ganef and the nignav even without v'heishiv v'sag zela asher gazal. Let's assume that the kam le'ed rab minei did wipe out v'heishiv v'sag zela and it doesn't regenerate both. But nonetheless, you're holding on to a chavetz which doesn't belong to you. The most you have is either one perspective, limited kinyanim, your junior partner, or you're not a partner at all. But you just have chiyuvei onsin. That's the question, how to read, who is reading? Daniel, right? The next line of the Gemara. Okay. Amar Rava Mistabra, we just read. Continue. Avnatal v'halokim.
Halokim.
Amarav. Afilu natal.
Afilu
natal. So now it's slow. Now yeshlo damim v'nensu. This is written, very. This gemara is a very lamdasha. Exchange. What does it mean? The yeshlo damim. What does yeshlo damim mean?
So
like in the Mishnah, the case.
If
it's a father and a son, where there's no issue of. Come lebed rabba minei, what would happen? The yeshlo damim, v'nansu. Now this is why it's such a basic gemara. The gemara is saying, can't we prove from chiyuv onsin of a ganav that I'm right? What am I right about? That there are kinyane gneva, right? And it's only the heshiv esagzela, which is an obstacle to full kinyanim. Can't I prove that? from Chiyavonsim, Yesh Adamim V'Nansu Chayev. Alma. Meaning he has Kinyanim. This is again a Kinyan Gemara. So the Gemara says, Hachanami. Meaning in our case, where there is Kamlei B'Drabamine, and the issue isn't one of Onsim, but of Hashava. But here there was no Hashava. So there's no Chiyuv, and there's full Kinyanim. So basically Rav is trying to prove from Onsim, well beyond Onsim, Kinyanim Gemurim on the Be'en. Go ahead. The Gemara says, Veloi. This is Rava's response now.
Oh.
So now, there are two ways to read Rava, as we just said. One way is to read that Rava is saying, the radical way, on the Kinyan question, let's say, on the second perspective that Yoni raised. But within that, we also had two, right? Either there are no kinyanim at all, and we're talking about only chiyuvim, or there are kinyanim le'inyan chiyuv, but not, you're always going to be a junior partner, you're never ever going to be elevated to an equal or a better partner. So this is two ways to read this, that's exactly two ways, right? Chiyuv kim nerachmanu b'shusei le'inyan onsin. Let's say the first way would be, there are kinyanim, but the kinyanim are limited to onsin, to the chiyuv. Avlinyan mikne, especially competitive mikna, v'shusei demarayu kaimi, mididahava shoel. If that's a pshat, then what would be the basis for shoel's kinyanim? Shoel's chiyuvim, rather? Kinyan. This is an issue we discussed, those who were here last year, right? We talked about the ritzvah in Kiddushin, and it comes up many times, and that is, a shoel is chayev ba'onsin. Again, he's not responsible for the earthquake or for the flood. Right? So why should he pay? So, one perspective, the Gemara says, Mishum shekol hana shelo. So what does that mean, kol hana shelo? So there are two ways to interpret that. Okay. Rafi, how would you interpret that? Kol hana shelo, therefore shoel pays onsin. So one way to say is kol hana shelo is an indication. It reflect he the fact that he has hana means that he is a quasi bailin. If he's a quasi bailin, then the flood occurred to him. Now again, by the way, this idea would substantiate a little bit at least my suggestion that we have to look at the question of ownership and especially competing ownership in a complex way, because no one will deny that between a shoel and a mashiel, who has more kinyanim? The mashiel. Bikonin kalei chedisa b'shusa demarisa. Right? According to most Rishonim anyway, you know, he's the one who can be makdish the chepetz. It's shelo b'shuso. And yet, when the flood takes place, who pays? Not the predominant owner. But in this case, le'inyan davar zeh, a junior owner, this is the point I was trying to make before, you just have to figure out when it's true, when it's not true. A junior partner can sometimes be, you know, either in his liability or in his schuyos, before we were speaking about his schuyos. In some cases in his liability, sometimes it's the junior partner's liability. In this case, you know, le'inyan tashmishin, that's what's kovei l'chiyuv onsin, even though he's a junior partner. It confirms that idea in a general way. Okay. So that's the idea of Shoel. And then the equation between Ganav and Shoel is very, very strong. Both have limited kinyanim. They're junior partners, le'inyan chiyuv onsen. Of course, there still might be differences in that the chiyuv onsen of a Shoel is given freely. The chiyuv onsen of a Ganav is a result of bal korcha, of competition. So there may still be important differences in the implementation of the chiyuv ones of a Shoel and of a Ganav, but at least in general terms, they both flow from a certain measure of Kenya. Okay, just one second. What's the other pshat of whole of Kol Nashalo? Donnie?
Since he's
getting
all the
Ganav
out of it, he accepts the fact that he's going to
have Achrayas, he's an insurance company. What makes him an insurance company, even for things that have nothing to do with him and that he can't prevent? You know, if you go to an insurance company, so there are all sorts of you know, there's a hierarchy of obligations, right? It's obvious that, you know, like the basic things, you know, they insure you for. They don't insure you against negligence, generally speaking. Now, will they insure you against earthquakes and what?
Acts of God.
Acts of God, you know, comet hitting your, you know, your garage. Some will and some won't. You have to pay a higher premium, right? I don't know if anybody cares in the insurance business. You know, I try to actually avoid insurance people as much as possible. But the point is, you pay a higher premium to get better coverage. Did I say that right? Is that my good insurance speak? Thank you. So the point is, kol hana shalo is the premium. And the result is that you pay, even for acts of God, chiyuv onsin, it's achrayus, you're an insurance company. Ah, is that what's going on in Gzela? Do you become an insurance company because you took the object away from the other fellow? He can't guard it anymore. Not because you have kinyanim. Again, mashal ma dover domet, the first day in Tosis when it comes to niskei mamon. So then, the other way, that's the other way to read the Gemara. The Gemara is saying, listen, a shoel isn't miksas kinyanim, a shoel is chiyuv achrayus b'li kinyanim. So kiyuk mei v'loi, kiyuk k'minei rachmanim b'rishusei linyan onsin. When did the Torah, what is onsin about? Chiyuvim, it's part of the chiyuvei gzeila. Just like shoel has chiyuvei achrayus. Avalinya mikna b'shusad amarayokayim. There's no kinyanim. Midi dehave ashoel. So possibly, there are two ways to read the maskar of Rava. And then we get back to Rava and Tmura. That's significant too. Right? Rava agrees that there are mixas kinyanim. Maybe according to Valamor, Rava agrees that there are complete kinyanim, in theory. According to most Rishonim, Rava agrees that there are mixas kinyanim. According to other Rishonim, Rava will say, Chiv Onsim has nothing to do with Kiran, there are no kinyanim. There might be Shinikona, there might be Kolakazan Misham Kishas Agzela. All these are Dine Chiyuv, or Dine Mitzios. So possibly this is the discussion also between the Ramban and the Ritva in Bava Metzia. Yeah.
Isn't the comparison of Shol, according to the first definition of Kol HaShol, slightly flawed? Because by Shol, the whole idea is he's taking it for Tashmishi. That's why you see the idea of a possible king of Tashmishi.
So in that sense, that's what I meant before when I said there still might be important differences by virtue of the fact that in one, it's voluntary. It's not voluntary, it's consensual. And in the other case, it's competitive. But at least there is a one may be stronger, maybe Linyan Hekdesh, for example. You know, the Shoel is in a lesser position, and the Bailam is in a greater position. Linyan Dvarim Acherim might be the opposite. It's hard to know whether competition or complementary relationships are stronger. Again, I it's not because I'm trying to make trouble, but I really think it's true, and I think it's borne out in Reconstruction. That le'inyan different dinim, it's going to be different things. It's not always a simple, this is stronger, this is weaker answer. Okay. So your point is well taken. But at least we're talking about the same basic category, namely, miksas kinyanim le'inyan davarzeh, as opposed to saying no kinyanim, chiyuvim. Now in Shoel, are these two deos? Clearly. We talked about it last year. We saw it very clearly. There's so much rayas back and forth. But this is one of the Gemaras to quote. I think we quoted this Gemara last year too. As is the Gemara on Yud Aleph, Amud Aleph, about Shaman Laganaf, Ain Shaman Laganaf for the Gazlan, what about Shoel? There too, and Tosis there, which we'll get to in a second. But before we get to that, let's just get the Ramban and Ritva in here. So the Ramban and Ritva in, and the Rajva, but I the Rajva has a line that's missing, but the Rishonim in Bava Metzia, Daf Mem Gimel, ask a very basic question. Very basic question. Okay? I'm trying to get to some of the people who I've been neglecting. Daniel Goldman's. You see it? You get a chance yet? Yosef?
The Ramban says that.
We say Itbar Mimela. The context is Itbar Mimela.
Your Chayav Onsin should not stop at the Shas Gezeila, but
your Hiromsen should relate to the monetary value at the time of the.
That's the question. Why doesn't it? Because the halacha is that it bar mimela mishalim kashas ma'isa hagzela, even if it was one and it went up to four, and then it's it bar mimela, you pay the one. That's what the Gemara says, right? The question is, why should that be true? Why not pay since you're chayav ba'onsin, and when the calamity took place, the flood took place, it was worth four, so why not pay the four instead of the one? That's the question that the Ramban and the Chachmei Svarad were troubled by. Midi dehave. Midi dehave, Josh? Shoel. That's exactly their question. In the case of Shoel, what would happen? If the flood took place on the object, I received the object from the mafkid, it was worth four. No, I'm sorry, it was worth one. And now, at the time of the flood, it's worth four. So you pay the four. You don't pay the one. Right? This is the question. This is the Ramban's question. Ani teima. Kivan darmina dechi isa hadr lamara veinei. Rachman achayv alagazim ba'onsin. It's even the formulation, every word in the Ramban is precious here. He's quoting the Gemara against itself. Not meaning, if you understand the lamdas of the implications of the Chiyisa Hadra Lamara Be'enei to explain Tavar B'Shasya, which means what? That the object is still Bershus Habaylim. We see that from Tavar B'Shasya. Rachman Achayv Alagazlan Ba'onsin. And we also know that there's a Chiyav Onsin. And it's his Bailim's object, Amai lo mechayev ba'onsin dehashta. So why shouldn't you pay the present? Tavar v'shasya reasoning should apply to it bar mimela if you add to the mix chiyuv onsin. That's a very interesting formulation. Ramban's using the shonus of the Gemara and the implications to build up the question.
What's the implication of the first line he has that you have to do that it's still versus Gemara?
Yeah, because he wants to compare it to a shomer. That's the ukedamrina nami bialma. And then he has these lines: nehi du kmina rachmanu brishusay linyan onsin linyan mikna miu kmine brishusay. Where did that line come from? If you're not, if you didn't have your basic literacy gemaras, you'd just be reading this from Ban and Bamitzia, right, and not knowing where that line came from. Where did the line come from? Yeah, this is a quotation of Rava's answer to Rav in Sanhedrin. But if you don't know the Gemara in Sanhedrin, or you forgot about it, then you're going to miss half the significance of this Ramban. Ramban is saying, after all, didn't Rava reject Rav? As if to say, if you held like Rav, and the Ramban, remember, attacks the Balamor, thinks that Rava and Rav argue fundamentally. So the Ramban's view is that Rav holds an unrestricted kinyanim, just an obstacle of the Heshiva Sazek. And Rava rejects that. So we don't know what he says, but we know that he rejects unrestricted kinyanim. What we're not sure about is he moderates it and believes in kinyanim linyan onsin, or even that he rejects and says only chiyuvim. So what's the assumption of the question? Which of the two formulations? The moderation or the rejection? Which do you think, Donnie? He's quoting the line in Sanhedrin. We said that line in Sanhedrin, Rava's line in Sanhedrin can be read in two ways. One is, Rava says, Rav, you're right about Kinyanim, but it's limited to Chiyuv Onsin. Doesn't apply to the competition between, it doesn't apply to a Be'en, right, and the competition between the Nignav and the Ganav. Don't go so far with it. I'm going to moderate what Rav said. That's one explanation. Right? The other explanation is not moderating what Rav said, we're rejecting what Rav said. At least as far as these issues are concerned, Chiyuv Onsin do not reflect Kinyanim. Chiyuv Onsin reflect Chiyuvim. Like they do in an Achrayus of a Shoel. So the Ramban is quoting this line to build up his question, how come itbar mimela you pay kishas agneva and you don't pay kishas itbar? After all, there's a chiyuv onsin and the object is birshus nignav hanigzal. And what's he quoting to prove that? Kiramina nami bialma, Ayein Sanhedrin, Nehidu Kimra Achmana Bershusei Linyan Onsin, Linyan Mikna Miu Kimna Bershusei. So if that, which what? The rejection. Because if he meant, if he understood that line to mean that Linyan Chiv Onsin, in Achanami, there are Kenyanim. So then it would be contrary to what he's asking. It wouldn't build the question, it would destroy the question. Right, because we'd be saying Le'inyan, Onsim, he's the Bailim. Right? So apparently the best way to read Ramban is Ramban saying it's a rejection. That's the question. V'hilkach, ki aiker, vadai bershusei demare, aiker, he's building up the nignav, not the ganav. V'tavra demimela, what does he call it, tavra demimela? Because he's saying that the rule of tavra v'shasya, which is kishas, Hotsam and Olam should apply to it bar mimela, so that's why he's calling it Vitavra de mimela. Just as earlier he was quoting the line of the implication of Tavra Vashasya in Bab Metzia. Right? Vitavra de mimela nami ihu mechayavala dochayav onsim kishoel. Now he introduces Shoel. Atu kai gavna milo mishalim dalid. Wouldn't the Shoel pay the higher price? That's the question. Now the question is, what's the answer? So the answer could have been, in theory, you're right. But even on the Chiyuv level, there are differences between a Shoel and a Goslin. After all, like we just said, there's a difference between competitive and complementary, Chiyuve, Achrayus, and so on. Fine. Is that the answer? Yosef, is it? That how we read through, how do we read the answer? See?
He says like the other way.
Exactly, goes exactly the other degree. It says v'yeshlomar the shiny shoel the mishas meshicha mechayev v'mezonoseha v'lo mechayev ba'onsin at shas shvuro mesa u'brshusa demarahi l'mechira v'kalvachomer lehektish. A very important line. What is that about? This is, I mean, the Ramban in his full greatness. Okay, the Ramban's always on with his whole greatness. Well, what is that about? He zeroed in on the language of the Gemara about Tavra V'Shasya, and he tried to explain how what he really wants is that Itbar Mimela is a form of Tavra V'Shasya. Then he zeroed in on one line, the Rava's line in Sanhedrin, which is how we paskin, right, and Shoel, and so on. And now what he's doing is he's invoking Rabbi Yochanan. So what's he saying? In the case of Shoel, it's Chiyuvim. The fact that he's Chayiv b'mezonoseha immediately doesn't mean that he's Chayiv b'onsin. The Chiyuv onsin only mishas takal. Okay, this has to be basically the difficulty with what the Ramban is saying is that he wants, in a way, a little bit to have his cake and eat it too. Shoel is midin Chiyuvim. Ganav? That's midin kinyanim. How do I know it? From Rabbi Yochanan. Because a shomer, the mashiel, can be makdish and can be mocha the chayfetz. By the way, it's also interesting that it says kalvachomer lehektish, implying that one might have thought that it could be mechalik, but that's when we get to Rabbi Yochanan. We'll try to remember this and get back to it. Meaning, there, the full kinyanim belong to the owner, and it's a chiyuv. Avogzela, kiven the mishas meshicha, mechayev beonseha, the chiv onser mishas meshicha, because they flow from the chiv onsim flow from the kinyanim. The nafke nami meshus bailam lahektesh, important language. It's not just that it's ena bershuso physically, and that has consequences. It seems like that reflects curtailment of bailus as well. Remember this when we get to Rabbi Yochanan. The nafke nami mishus bailam lehektesh. It's this line, by the way, if I'm not mistaken, that the Rajba leaves out, which I think is significant. Lo mechayvinu leba onsin ela deshas meshicha digzela kishas shvuro mesa deshela vahi shayt achayel alecha yuv. I, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, equates them. The Gemara equates them, but they're not the same. That's the conclusion. You have a stira. The one hand, you have a Gemara that says that they're the same. On the other hand, you have the discrepancy Itbar Mimela and Shoel. The conclusion that the Ramban prefers is the Gemara in Sanhedrin is making a limited point. It's not really fully equating. By the way, the Ritva goes even further, one step further. V'yeshomer d'shoa lo kanya klal. The Ramban doesn't say that. He says kanya l'mishicha l'mizona seha, but the onsim are delayed. The Ritva's stronger language. Shol lo kanya klal v'lo afke mishus bailim ke bailim yicholim l'machor la ulahakdisha. He doesn't have the kal v'chomer. Hilka chiyuva al shasa unes abal gazlin mishas gzeil afke mishus bailim l'machir. Now, in theory, one could have answered it a different way, within kinyanim or within chiyuvim. But this becomes a very important issue. And in light of this, again, when we revisit, we'll stop here, but Ein Shaman, the Gana for Lagazlan, and what about Shoel? Just look at the language again of the Rishonim, it becomes clear again that this is the issue. Okay, we'll stop here, we'll finish with this, and the Tosas Rid, whatever else we have on this on Sunday, and we're going to start with Dalet Hay also.
Yeah, sorry.